Praise God. Great to be here. Great to see those from the Pearl Church. Great to have and Cotton and enjoy life. You know, we're the family of God, so hey, why is it a surprise that the houses of God come together? Amen. He says, guard the unity, protect the unity, strive for unity. And, I think that's just what God's called us to do. So it's great. Thank you, Leonard, for allowing us to come here and be here. You know, John Baptist cries out and he says, you know, behold the Lamb of God that takes the sins of the world, takes them away, doesn't just cover them. You know, Paul calls out and he says, you know, he is our Passover. Book of Exodus, you read the Passover and all that took place about the freedom out of the tyranny and of darkness and sin and all that. You know, God rescues us. That's Jesus Christ. Revelation 5 says that he is the Lamb freshly slain. And it's like the sacrifice of Christ wasn't an event. It was a outworking of God's love for all of humanity that remains fresh. It's alive. It is like today he died for us. How many say amen to that? While we're here to look at the cross this morning, my heart's desire is that we would see the cross tied in with the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father. What's behind the cross? There's much we can say about it. But I pray today, even as we heard prophetically, that there would be something that would touch the heart of every person here today regarding the heart of God. You know, when we look at John chapter 1 and we read about Jesus, we read this, that the Word became flesh. And flesh and blood, and moved into the neighborhood, and we saw the glory with our own eyes, and one of a kind, like Father, like Son. I like that. Like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. When Jesus walked on the earth, it wasn't his heart, it wasn't his life that was revealing anything, it was the heart of the Father being worked out through the life of Jesus Christ. As we begin to understand who Christ was, we see that it's the heart of the Father that's constantly being displayed for us. For 33 and a half years, the heart of the Father was exhibited in flesh and in blood. It says he moved into the neighborhood. I don't know what you're like when people move into the neighborhood. I go check them out. I look through the window. I'm that little old person, lady, man, you know, just peeking through the window. I want to see what they got. I'm checking them out. Well, Jesus moved into the neighborhood. He wants us to check him out. Because there's something about Jesus that isn't just Jesus. It's about the Father of God. I love when you read about Jesus. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, the things I do, they're not of my own. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. He says, I did not come to do my will, but him who from heaven sent me. He says, hey, I want to teach you how to pray. So how do we pray? We say, our Father who art in heaven. Everything about Jesus was about the Father, not just in life, but in death. The cross is about the heart of the Father. To anyone who would have ears to hear, 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not their imputing their trespasses against them. God took the initiative. God says, hey, there's this problem going on. I'm going to go to this world that is broken. I'm going to go to humanity that is overcome by sin and trespasses, that they've got no way out. I'm going to take the initiative like a good father, and I'm going to come through Christ and reconcile. I'm going to bring right relationship. I'm going to come to your neighborhood. And I'm going to display the heart that I have that everyone would come back into right relationship. Reconciling the world in Christ. Where? At the cross. So the question is, reconciling us to what? What's he reconciling us to? And I want you to hear today, he's reconciling you to sonship. He's reconciling you back into a right relationship with a father as true sons and daughters. That the cross was the means that God bridges back you and I in our brokenness, in our independence, in our selfishness, and brings us back into a right relationship where we can now not just cry out, but Father like Jesus, but we can live a life as sons and daughters in the earth. John 1:12 says, but to all who believed and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. It's just not a wish. It's just not a hope. He says, I'll give you the right, the legal privilege. I'll give you the opportunity that nobody can take. It's a binding agreement. That you will become my son. You'll become my daughter. If you'll but come and accept what the work of the cross was all about. We're reconciled to God the Father through Christ's death. The relationship of God's creation was ruptured by sin. Sin in the garden took hold of that relationship of sonship. And now that sin has woven its way through the thread of DNA in all of humanity from the beginning of time. So no longer are we those sons we should be. But how many know humanity cries out, can I be a son? Can I become right with God? In Luke chapter 15, probably a passage would not be spoken of when it comes to Good Friday, but if you want to see the heart of the Father, go to Luke 15 and understand the prodigal son. If you want to see the heart of a father coming after you, go to Luke 15. The heart of a father that says, I will not give up on you and your brokenness is found in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to tell you the story. You can read it on your own. Most of you are familiar with it, but in Luke 15, we find that a man has two sons, and the younger of the sons says to the father, he says, you know what? I think I am better off running my own life the way I want to run it. Father, I want you to give me my inheritance. Give me the blessings. Give me the privileges. Give me all that I had under your house, and let me take it, and let me walk out this life on my own. I'm better off on my own than with you. Doesn't that sound like all of humanity? Doesn't that sound like even you and I? In those days, it's just as if saying, Dad, you're dead to me. Dad, I'm better off as if you were dead. And doesn't that what the world says today? God, you're dead. And if you're not dead, you're dead to me. Because I don't want you. I don't need you. So here we have a young man that is crying out. And he says, I want to go on my own. So he journeys. And in Luke 15, we find he journeys with an independent spirit. It's self-satisfying spirit, self-gratifying spirit. It's a spirit in pursuit that says it's all about me. And all of a sudden he goes out and there's that selfishness. There's a self-drivenness. It is a selfie world before there were selfies. Wow. Come on. That's humanity. It's all about me. Isaiah said, we all like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us turned our own way. The book of Judges says that with humanity outside God, it says they did everything what was right in their own eyes. And that's the tendency, the propensity you and I have is to do what we want to do the way we think it should be done when I want it, because I'm king. In this story, this son deliberately, he chooses independence. He chooses to go his own way. And what does it do? It leads to pleasure. But pleasure quickly becomes empty. And pleasure leads to consequences. And what he once had in its fullness, he now is bankrupt. What he sought after and found joy now has brought declension of that joy and that peace that all was inside of him. Prodigal living. Extravagant wastefulness, recklessness, not considering the consequences. If you're a parent, you understand that protectiveness towards your children who don't do that. Don't become reckless. Don't make those decisions. We want to stop them. And the Father wanted to stop the Son. The Father wants to stop every one of us from going our own way and becoming reckless. But how many know as children, we want to do our own thing? No, Mom, Dad, I'll learn it the hard way. Please don't. Please don't learn it the hard way. But we did, didn't we? And now we try to pass that on to our kids. But here the Son says, I'm going to live life to the fullest, but I'll do it my way, the way I want to do it. And he becomes bankrupt of everything. Bankrupt of all righteousness. Once sons, he's now a vagabond. Once with possessions, he's now possessionless. Once having fulfillment of identity and authority and all that he could have, now he's got nothing. Scripture tells us, your righteousness and my righteousness are as filthy rags. We got nothing in us that commends us to God. All that we try to muster up to get right with God who created us. He says it's filthy rags. You got nothing in you. There's no one righteous. No, not one. There's nobody that does good. We're so unrighteous that if we were God, we wouldn't want us. That's who we are. Inside of us, not only does God not want us, if we were in the position, we wouldn't want us. Because there's nothing inside of us that commends itself. Since Adam and Eve, that sin, selflessness, that rebellion, that obstinance has been in that DNA. And now this son lives in want of significance. Who am I? Where's my identity? Where's my purpose? He's left where all that stuff was opened up for him and he could walk in it freely. Now he sits in that barren pasture. He sits in that place of barrenness because he says, who am I? What have I got? Who am I? What can I get? My life is empty. It's destitute. I'm barren. And today the world is looking. The world is looking for answers of who am I? They're striving through finances, through fame, through fortune. They are struggling to find through sexual relationships, through intimacy. They're trying to buy an identity and it quickly falls and fails away. Because somebody comes up and says, oh, let me talk about your character. Let me talk about your presidential run and really who you are. Let me talk and go in deep about your past and bring it open. And you go, yeah, I guess I really don't have what it takes. They cry out, somebody fill me with this emptiness. Somebody give me purpose and identity. When you read the story of this Luke 15, this son, he's a Jewish son. Jewish descent. He followed the customs and the pattern of his father and his father's father and his father's father's father. He understood his belief system. And then we find that he followed the ancient writings of the Jewish customs, which would be the Torah, the five books of Moses, the law. And in it, it tells him specifically how to live a clean life. And it says, stay away from unclean animals. When you follow Luke 15, you find that he is in a pasture, in a pen. He's found himself in a muddied portion of civilization where he's feeding pigs. He has become the very thing that he was told to stay away from. And now he looks at his faith and his understanding of old and he says, I've got nothing left. And now he's so desperate, he'll eat what they're eating. That's how far he fell down and journeyed away from God. A son, privileged, taken care of, loved, accepted, freely blessed and fulfilled, now empty, despair, hopelessness. I encourage you, perhaps you read the news. That's the story in the newspaper today. Watch the news. Watch what's happening in our countries, happening in our political government, happening in our, go walk the streets at night and see humanity crying out, somebody lift me out of this mess. Somebody take me out of my addiction. Somebody take me out of my brokenness, my fatherlessness. Somebody lift me up. They're crying out, will somebody give me an answer? And this son is crying out there as he hears the pigs, as the swine, as he feeds them. He says, I am not who I was supposed to be. Somebody accept me. The Bible's clear. The wages of sin is. There are consequences to selfishness, to deliberate choices, to walking away from the Father. There's consequences. Our choices bring consequences. And it says that there is a death. Wages of sin is death. Death not only natural, but there's death to a relationship that was meant to bring us into favor. A relationship meant to heal us. A relationship meant to fulfill us. A relationship that was meant to bring us into our purpose and identity that we can walk through life understanding who we are. It was a relationship that came crashing down because of sin. Like you, like me, I read that story as a father. I say, Father, why didn't you go get him? I say, Father, why didn't you sell everything? Do what it takes. Why did you not go rescue him? You knew where he was, Father. He was out in the porch. He was watching. He heard news. He knew his son was out there. Father, why did you not go rescue him? He could have. He had the ability. He had the passion. But he knew that if you rescue somebody before they want to get rescued, they will go back to where they were. We've seen it, haven't we, in our own relationships. We've seen it in the areas of addiction. We see it in the areas of brokenness of life, that if they don't want to get rescued and you go try to rescue them, they're going to go right back to where they were. God says, it's not time to rescue. And besides, I don't want to rescue, I want to reconcile. Here's a father that says, I could go, but he doesn't. Instead, he waits for the son to return. He waits for the son to want to come. Within the Old Testament, if you read it, God's relationship with humanity was all about building back a relationship. The Old Testament's all about sacrifices. That humanity, if they wanted to come to God, they would bring a sacrifice. And for 1 year, the blood of that sacrifice would cleanse the sins of humanity, of the nation of Israel. And God would look down at the brokenness of their sins and he'd say, forgiven. Then next year, accumulation of sin and brokenness and another animal sacrifice, blood covers it and goes, forgiven. But then another year. And another year, and another year, and another year. How many here pay your debts off regularly? Don't hold your hands up. You'll embarrass the rest of us. But how many of you pay off your debts regularly with a credit card? Don't put your hands up. And what Israel was doing was paying the debts off on a credit card because their debts were clean, but the debt was mounting up. It was still accumulating. It was still growing. And sin was multiplying and growing and growing and growing until somewhere, somehow, somebody's got to pay the debt, because all we're doing every month is just putting and paying it forward into another credit card. And God says, that's not the relationship I want. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Every year an animal, every year guilt and shame, every year blood poured out. They would try to please God, but they would fail. They didn't have it in them to make it work. Finally, it says in the fullness of time, Galatians says, in the fullness of time, God says now. Now it's time. Now it's time not just to rescue my people, it's time to reconcile them. And in the fullness of time, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to become the Passover lamb. In the fullness of time, or somehow in time and in a moment, this young man had a defining moment. He said, what if I repent? What if I return to the Father? What if I come and I say, God, Father, I'm not worthy to be a son. Just let me be a servant. Let me go back to earning a relationship, because I can't handle not having a relationship. Let me just earn a relationship. It says that as this young man was coming home, the father saw him. It says, while he was a great distance, a great journey, a great way off, the father saw him. My question to you, how far are you away from the father today? He sees you. How far did you travel? Maybe your heart just now is only through difficulties, trials, and circumstances. You're thinking, I don't know if I really want to serve God. It was better serving the world, because it's so difficult trying to serve God. So maybe I'll detour back. Maybe it's just in your heart now. Maybe you've been thinking about not serving God, and maybe you've been caught up in some areas of sin. The world says, come join us. The prodigal son joined people of the land and he began to lose things. Maybe you've gotten into the wrong relationships. Maybe you've spent all. Maybe you've journeyed so far. You are at the bottom of the place that you never thought you would be. Can I tell you, the Father sees you. The Father knows where you're at. And here's what the Father does. Because the Son merely in his heart said, if I repent and return to the Father, that's the smallest step possible. The Father ran to him. The Father says, I'm coming. The Father says, don't come any further. I'm coming after you. You come this much, I'll do the rest of it. You just have in your heart a desire to repent and call out on me. God says, I will come to you. I will reconcile the relationship. I will come and do whatever it takes, because you can't do it. God said, you can't reconcile to me, but I can reconcile to you. I, through Jesus Christ and the cross, can not only pay for your sins, but I can bring you back into sonship. I can bring you back into the right relationship. Not as a slave, not as a servant, He says, I'm not worthy to be a son. You know what? You're right. None of us are. We're not worthy in who we are. Your sonship is not based on your worth, it's based on your birth. If you're born again, if you're born through Christ into a relationship, that's what brings you sonship. So all of a sudden the son comes and he wants to tell the father, I'm sorry. Do you think he even got those words out? The father grabs hold of him, hugs him and kisses his neck and keeps kissing him and squeezes him tight. He can't even say, God, Father, I repent. He just grabs hold of him and says, my son was dead and now is alive. The cross is the heart of the Father calling out for sons and daughters to come back. Not because of what you can do, but because of what I did. Because I let my son die on the cross in your place to take the punishment, the pain, to take the indebtedness that we all had and said, don't put it forward on a credit card. I'm going to pay for it up front. I'm going to pay for it so it's dealt with forever. Your sins now erased so that your sonship can be restored. As he comes, he looks around at he looks around at all the servants and says, man, that's all I need. He says, get me. You read this, he says, get me the best robe. I'm not putting you as a servant, I'm putting you as a son. Get me the best robe. And the best robe is the robe of righteousness. That we get adorned with, that is beautiful, that is clean, that is pure, that is extravagant. He says, give him the best robe. And then give him a ring that signifies authority in the house of God, in the house of the Father. Give me sandals to put on him so his walk now has character, integrity, it has godliness, it has a walk in it that separates him from everyone else. And then he says, we're going to get the fatted calf and we're having a party. Because my heart is to celebrate over every son and daughter. My heart is to call out to the world and say, that was my son that was dead, but now is alive. He reconciles us to sonship. Colossians 3:13 says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us of all our sins. He canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away. Come on, nailing it to the cross. He didn't put it in a shoebox that says, I'll get to paying that debt later. Everybody know those shoeboxes? They have those bills in it. He says, I'm taking that now and I'm paying it now. I'm nailing it to the cross. It's paid in full. Romans 5 says, Christ died for us while we're yet sinners. The demonstration of God's love for us since Christ's blood has now given us God's approval. We are even more certain that Christ will save us from our anger. If the death of his son restored our relationship with God while we're still enemies, we are even more certain that because of this restored relationship, the life of his son will save us At the cross, he took our sins, paid the debt, wiped it clean. And then he says, sonship. Not slave, not servant, sons. And I believe we need to be so clear that the cross was not just paying for our sins. It was reconciling us to God the Father as sons. Because if we only see the blood as paying our debts, we will live our life as slaves and servants to a God who's calling us to sonship. We will come to church as a duty, not as a devotion. We will serve in the house because it is what is required and demanded as a servant, not as the joy that comes out of a sonship. We will go through Christianity with this achingness and heaviness, this burden that says, I got to, instead of a son that says, I wanna. And that's the difference. What the cross brings to us is not just the legal justification and the legal bringing forth of our lives into right relationship by the blood that cleanses of all our sins. But it's the cross that says, you are now today my son, my daughter. We're in right relationship because of the cross. And this morning, I just want to close by asking you, are you confident? How are you living your life? Are you living your life just in celebration that your debts are paid for? Or are you living your life experiencing on a daily basis the love of a father? The heart of a father. The extravagant love. The prodigal son story, can I say this is not about the son, it's about the father. And the extravagant wastefulness is not the son, it's the father that says, I will pour abundantly on every person that comes to me extravagantly. I will waste my kingdom, as it were, on you. I will not hold anything back. That is it found in the message of the cross. Robe of righteousness. Ring of authority, sandals of character and integrity, and the joy of the Lord. Let me say that's a pretty good reconciliation. How many say that's what I want? That's what I have? That's what I want? I want to live that life. I want to pray for you this morning as we close, and I'm going to take the privilege of being able to pray for you. Friday and Sunday is not, this is my message sort of in, for mine on Sunday, it's not an event, it's an invitation. Because if it's on the calendar strictly as an event, you forgot what it was all about tomorrow. It's an invitation to journey with God as the Father. And I believe the heart of God today is to remind you, my heart is the heart of a father. If you're here this morning, you just need that echoed in your heart. You just needed to hear that this morning. You want to have that work deep in your spirit right now because that's something maybe you haven't had or something you just want more. Would you just stand this morning? I just make an affirmation as we close that that's what you want. You want that heart of the Father so real in your life that it's just not on the calendar. It's something deep in your spirit. Would you just stand this morning? I want to pray for you. Amen. Anyone else?